Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I am your host, Brendan Farrell, and today we're doing something a little different. Today I am joined by my good Twitter buddy at CFB Numbers, as you may know him, or Jason DeLoach, if you know him personally. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Brendan?
I'm doing all right. Give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Yeah, so pretty much I started my CFB Numbers account in 2020. It was kind of just a way to post graphs and just kind of, ask and answer questions with data. And that was kind of just the outlet for it. I figured if I was interested in it, other people would probably be interested in it as well. Fast forward to 2022, I land my dream job at PFF. So I'm kind of just doing that now. I get to help out with the broadcast prep for football games like Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, a couple college broadcasts. So yeah, just kind of living the dream, getting to talk and analyze football. What more could you ask for,
Exactly. And again, you can find him on Twitter at CFB Numbers. So I kind of tasked you with a couple different things because you kind of look at a lot of things sort of nationally. I'm trying to like narrow it down to kind of Ole Miss type stuff. And is there just anything interesting that jumps off the page to you like right off the bat here?
Yeah, so Ole Miss, at the moment from DraftKings Sportsbook, I have their Vegas win total at 9.5. If you adjust that win total for odds, so right now you can get it for plus 105, which is about a 48.8% implied odds of going over that 9.5 total. When you adjust that, it adjusts slightly down to 9.3. But that's still the ninth highest in the Power Five. So definitely a team that Vegas thinks will be up there in the top 10. I think just this expanded playoff is really going to help Ole Miss, especially this year. Out of conference wise, they play Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern. So, gettable games for them. I think this season is just the combination of the expanded playoff and just kind of where Ole Miss is. I think it just all meets up together so well. And I mean, playoffs are the expectation for Ole Miss. I can't imagine anything lower than.
Yeah, I was looking at your tweet from the other day about you posted a chart about win totals and like Power Five strength of schedule, and the follow-up tweet of the heck of a time for the 12-team playoff to start quadrant of, and then in the screenshot there's Kansas State, Missouri, Utah, Notre Dame, and of course Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Yeah, they're in that quadrant. Yeah, with SEC fellow Missouri, Kansas State. They're just that team that, this 12-team playoff is for them. Like, they need to capitalize on this expansion. It's the expectations are lofty, and I think it's warranted, and it's something they have to get over that hump.
Yeah, no, it's sort of funny that like Ole Miss is the consensus like dark horse to, I guess, make the playoffs and go a little bit deep, I guess, to the point where like it's so consensus that I don't even feel like they're a dark horse at this point.
They really aren't. They kind of feel like a lock for one of those later playoff spots. I think they'll contend in the SEC, but I think they're really going to lock in one of those at-large spots, and they're kind of that team to beat. And kind of, other teams are going to hope that they trip up a couple times when they're not supposed to. But it's really just made for them. It really is.
Yeah, and I think, sort of the big thing for this year, especially with like, just the draft class that left when it comes to quarterbacks, is just I feel like having a returning quarterback this year is gonna be such a huge advantage.
It really is. And I mean, to have Jackson Dart back is huge. I mean, he is one of the better quarterbacks in the FBS. I have him, his completion percentage over expectation. So just a quick point on that. It's basically completion percentage adjusted for how far you throw the football down the field. I have them at 6.3 percentage points over expectation, which is eighth in the FBS among quarterbacks coming back. So I pretty much most stats you have them in that top 10 to 15. So I think that's huge for this year, especially with so many teams losing quarterbacks or starting quarterbacks that, you know, don't have that many snaps.
Well, especially also there's so much room this year for, you know, some quarterback to get hot and make a Jaden Daniels-esque like rise up the draft boards too.
Yeah, especially, yeah. I mean, it could be Jackson Dart. It could be someone like Donovan Smith at Houston. It could be this draft class feels like a Jaden Daniels type rise. We don't know who it is. It could be like 15 quarterbacks. One of them will probably make that rise. So we kind of just have to figure out who that is.
I thought I saw on Twitter the other day that you're a Connor Weigman guy, right?
I do like Connor Weigman. I think he could definitely take that step forward. I think he's athletic enough that it's sort of like a sneaky athleticism. I feel like a lot of people don't see that and will see that maybe, you know, halfway through the college football season. But yeah, I could see Connor Weigman making that step. I think Jackson Dart, I think if he can get his play out of the pocket and his play under pressure better, I think he could make that leap forward. Since 2022, under pressure, PFF has him in the 25th percentile of PFF pass grade. And then out of pocket, he's in the 24th percentile. So I think those are two things he really needs to kind of improve on. And that'll be his, you know, trajectory up.
I mean, is there anything like specific from those sort of under pressure or out of the pocket numbers that like you could really work on, you think? Or
I think biggest thing is just taking sacks. His pressure to sack rate last year was 19.1%. Anything under 20 is, you know, it's fine, but I think you want it more in that 10 to 15 range. That 19.1% out of the 110 quarterbacks coming back that I have is 65th. So, you know, a little below average for you. I think if you can just kind of avoid taking those sacks and turn them into, I mean, obviously you'd like to have it as positive plays, but even just throwaways or just kind of avoiding those sacks, I think that's the biggest thing for him. If he can just kind of cut that down while also maintaining his play in a clean pocket and especially play action. We have him as the fifth highest graded quarterback on play action plays last year. So if he can kind of just maintain that while taking less sacks, I think that's kind of his path towards, you know, being an elite quarterback, you know, that top echelon quarterback.
Yeah, I was looking at ESPN's QBR and they do have, you know, kind of sort of the sections on where, you know, guys grade out well versus not. And it, Jackson Dart, while not being like a Shedeur Sanders or anything, got dinged a ton on sacks for them last year. Like he's 106th out of 127 when it comes to, I guess, like his, when you sort it by like the most negative or whatever.
Yeah.
He's toward the top of the most negative. I'm not explaining this well.
Well, so that for QBR, it's as far as I understand it, it's expected points lost to sacks. So when you look at that, you kind of look at the situation of when he's taking those sacks. You're going to lose more expected points on, you know, third down or even like a second and one where you're kind of expected to gain that first down. So to me, that says that Jackson Dart kind of takes sacks in very inopportune times, like when you don't want to take sacks. So that's, again, just something he needs to improve on. And, you know, that's kind of where you're losing your expected points. So if he can kind of even cutting that down to average, I think would go a long way for him.
Yeah, this sort of feels like Joe Burrow discourse of, yeah, I take a million sacks, but they, you know, it's when it's like, you know, third and eight, and I'm just trying to make a play or something. Like the sack doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely a give and take and sort of a balancing thing from trying to create and make plays, you know, under pressure versus, you know, taking sacks on those bad opportunities. And It works out if your positives outweigh your negatives. For Jackson Dart, I mean, you could, I mean, he's still overall a positive quarterback. You know, he's well into that positive EPA territory. So it yeah, like you said, it's not like a Shedeur Sanders where he's in the high 20s and it is a problem, or even Jaden Daniels last year. It's kind of just one of those things, like it's a nice to have if he does improve it. But if he kind of hovers between that 19.1 and, you know, 18, 17%, I think that's fine. You just kind of want to see it improve to get to that like top quarterback territory.
Yeah, no, as a Commanders fan, the last thing I want to hear about is Jaden Daniels' pressure to sack ratio. I
I'm
pretend
sure
I do
you've
not
heard
see
that.
it.
I'm sure you've heard that so many times over the past couple months.
Oh my gosh, it scares me to death for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I one of the other big things for Ole Miss with me is the transfer portal. And I realize that like trying to come up with numbers on really like anything player movement related in college is so hard just because of, you know, how short these guys are in college for really compared to like the NFL. And, you know, like I think just think it's hard to like quantify how like, you know, a guy who did really well in the group of five is going to project to the Power Five, for example. But kind of I guess how do you see Ole Miss grading out on that end?
Yeah, so I think their two biggest acquisitions are on the defensive line. I think Walter Nolan from Texas A&M was a huge acquisition, former number one overall recruit in, I believe, 2022. Zero missed tackles last year, 13 tackles for loss and no gain against the run since 2022. And his run stop rate, so basically run stop is based off of like down and distance, did you stop the ball carrier before they gained enough yards for it to be considered like a successful play? His run stop rate is in the 93rd percentile since 2022 among defensive linemen. But I think the one thing with Walter Nolan is, and their other defensive line acquisition, Princely, I'm going to butcher this last name, Princely Umanmi Nialin. Oof,
Close
I
enough as far
butchered
as I'm
that one.
concerned.
But those two are interesting because when you think of defensive linemen and you think of, you know, pass rush, your mind immediately goes to sacks. And when you look at Walter Nolan, he had 7 sacks last year, which is tied for fourth in the FBS among defensive linemen. So you think like, oh, it's awesome. But when you kind of dive deeper into it, 5 of those sacks are what PFF considers cleanup or pursuit sacks. And what that means is maybe the quarterback kind of runs into you and you just kind of happen to, you know, hug him to the ground, or the play is just going on for so long that it's not something that's really stable year over year. Just based off of offensive schemes and playmakers, it's, you know, stuff like cleanup and pursuit sacks isn't something that really carries over year. But 5 of his 7 sacks are in that, you know, considered in that territory. And his pass rush win rate in 2023 was only 8.5%. Typically, you kind of want to be in the double digits in that for defensive linemen. So I would say his pass rush needs to get a little bit better and kind of meet his run defending. If that can happen, that's, you know, top tier defensive tackle category. And then for Princely, you look at he only had 7 sacks as well, and you're like, oh, he's an edge rusher. How did he only get 7 sacks? Like, this guy sucks. But when you look at something like pass rush win rate, his was 20.7%, which was 11th best among edge rushers last year. And his pressure rate was 19%, which was 12th best. So, yeah, he's not getting those sacks, but the pressure is coming and he's winning those matchups. So eventually you're going to run into quarterbacks that struggle taking sacks, and he's going to have those big, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 sack games. So I think just looking at sacks, you might get a skewed perception of these two guys. But I think they were both home run pickups by Ole Miss, and I think they're going to definitely anchor that defensive line coming into the season.
Well, especially on the on the princely side, you know, as a Florida grad, I have a little bit of insight on this, unfortunately. but you know, he had 7 sacks last year, but I mean, no one else on Florida had more than 2.5.
Yeah,
And
that too.
you know, actually having, you know, depth on the edge side of things, I imagine will make, you know, Princely's life a little bit easier heading into next season.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just a matter of time with him. If you can get those pass rush win rate and pressure rate stat, like if you're in that top tier of those two metrics, the sacks will come. It's a little bit more dependent on who you're playing and their offensive scheme and how their quarterback kind of handles that. But just, you know, that high pressure rate is just so crucial. I mean, quarterbacks expected points and efficiency just craters when they're under pressure. It doesn't matter who it is. So just having that is just going to be so key for Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, I imagine it's gonna be terrifying having, you know, Princely on one side, and then you've got Jared Ivey, who had 5.5 sacks last year, on the other, presumably.
Exactly. And then you have Walter Nolan in the middle. I mean, that's going to be a premier defensive line in the SEC.
Yeah, you know, you sort of look at that famous Texas A&M recruiting class from a couple of years ago, but this is actually one of the guys that you want.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. That class is definitely kind of cracked a little bit. So, you know, it's nice that they kind of got that pickup and they can kind of integrate him in the defense, and hopefully he kind of takes that step up in as a pass rusher. And I mean, if he does, he's gonna get his name called very early in the NFL draft. So that's such a key pickup for them.
And then I sort of, if you got a take on this, I'd be very interested. I sort of feel like over the last year, between kind of a slow start to the season and then transfer, there's been a lot of Quinshon Judkins discourse.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a take on this?
Yeah, so for Quinshon Judkins, he had the second most missed tackles forced on rushes since 2022, first among returning running backs, so it's definitely a tough loss for Ole Miss. It's hard to point that. It's hard to paint that picture very bright. But I do like their pickup in Ja'Cory Crosby Merritt. He started at Alabama State. He played there, I believe, 4 years. And then he played at New Mexico last season. But 92.5 PFF rush grade at New Mexico last year. That was eighth in the FBS. When you talk about missed tackles forced, he had a 0.34 missed tackles forced per attempt, which was 10th in the FBS. And then he had 39 rushes of 10 plus yards, which was also 10th in the FBS. So I know you talked about it before, kind of going from that group of five to now you're facing SEC defenses. So it's kind of tough there. But I think the combination of him and Ulysses Bentley, sorry if I'm saying that right. I think that combination, it's still a net loss, I think, at the end of the day with Judkins, but I think it's not as bad of a loss as you know, may have thought, or it's not going to be a season killer at the end of the day, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, not to like go too far into the running backs matter discourse, but I sort of feel like if your big loss in the portal is a running back, I feel like you're doing okay.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'm of the opinion that running backs matter a little bit more in college versus the NFL, but I still think at the end of the day, I think you're still going to be fine. They have, you know, weapons on the outside for Jaxson Dart, and then obviously they have Jaxson Dart. So I think the offense is still going to be fine. And just with how Lane Kiffin schemes up runs with the RPO game, kind of, you know, lightening the box a little bit, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine too. I was also impressed at times with Ulysses Bentley last year at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, plus, and they also grabbed Logan Diggs from LSU too. So we'll see how that goes.
And I think Henry Parrish from Miami. So yeah, just kind of a more of a running back by committee sort of approach. I think they'll be fine at the end of the day. I think somebody will sort of rise to the top. They might not get to that level of Quinshon Judkins, but I still think they're in good shape overall.
Well, I think the other like big name for Ole Miss on offense this year could be Juice Wells. You know, you sort of look at what Ole Miss did with Trey Harris last year, and just adding another weapon to that should be interesting.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be big time for that offense. He's a guy that really just attacks the football, a great contested catch guy. I think that's great for the Ole Miss offense. I believe he injured his foot last year, so we will have to see how that sort of heals and how he kind of, you know, gets back into football, you know, shape. But he only has 3 drops in the last 102 targets, so he's a guy that, you know, very rarely makes that drop mistake. And I think he's such a safety net for an offense. Jackson Dart can kind of just go throw it up and Wells will go get it. So I think that's going to be huge for Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, look, another year of Trey Harris is also pretty exciting, to be honest.
Exactly, yeah. And then they have Caden Pierce-Corn at tight end. So I think they have plenty of weapons there. The offense should be good enough to kind of go through their schedule.
You know, I figure with Lane Kiffin, you really shouldn't be concerned about your offense.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, with Ole Miss, it's really just don't get tripped up by a team that you should beat or that you're favored to beat. You don't have to play Alabama this year. Your out of conference is very soft. So it's just one of those things where if they can stay the course and kind of hit that, you know, 9-10 win total, I think they'll be in that playoff race.
I feel like you saying that, oh yeah, just stay on schedule and don't lose to a team you're expected to beat. I feel like it's very hard to hear that and not like side eye the Egg Bowl.
You get a little groan going, like, oh, I've heard that one before.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, like losing to Kentucky at home would be brutal. I can't imagine that would happen. That's probably the game. And even like Florida at Gainesville, it might be a tough one. We'll see what Florida's like in November. I mean, I don't really know what it's Billy Napier could be kind of on the super hot seat at that point, but they could also have momentum, so that could be a game that might be considered sort of a trap game for Ole Miss and kind of derail that playoff race. But yeah, those are kind of games those are the games that I would imagine Ole Miss might be favored, and those games that, you know, they might trip up, but you can't need that to, you know, make the playoffs.
It's funny you bring up that Florida game because, you know, like that game comes in the middle of sort of a death march for Billy Napier potentially, because it's towards the end of a November that starts with Georgia, and then they go on the road to Texas, and then home against LSU, and then home against Ole Miss.
I feel so bad for Billy Napier. That team is, they're not like, if you look at advanced metrics, like Florida isn't bad. They just, their schedule is just so brutal every year. I mean, it's like a top 2 hardest schedule every single year.
Yeah,
and it's just like they just happen to play teams that are on the rise and much better, and they just can't catch a break.
Well, and then if you're like, well, all I have to do is just get through this year, right? No, because they turned around and just flipped the schedule upside down for next year. And it's like, all right, well, you'll play the same teams if you just go on the road this time, or you stay at home this time.
They're just caught in this brutal gauntlet where, you know, you kind of want to catch a soft, like you need to catch a soft schedule to sort of, you know, build that momentum and get recruiting where it needs to be. And they just kind of can't, that's kind of the reality of the SEC now, is there's really no weaknesses. Like you're kind of in the gauntlet every single year, and you kind of just have to show up every year.
Well, also like, just from like a numbers standpoint, when it comes to strength of schedule, like if you're like the bad team in the SEC, right? Of course, your strength of schedule is going to be harder because you don't have the bad team to play against, right? Like I'm sure Vanderbilt has one of the hardest schedules every year because they're the team that doesn't play Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's typically like Arkansas, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Like they are constantly in the top five of hardest schedules because they can't play themselves and they don't have that like kind of relief week. So that's just, it's brutal every year.
Yeah, did you have anything else kind of prepped that I haven't asked about yet?
No, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, their offensive line, I had them kind of average 31.5% pressure rate was 35th in the Power Five out of 69 teams. So sort of that average mark. 2.54 average time to pressure, 25th in the Power Five. You know, you typically want to give your quarterback about 2.5 seconds, and then that's kind of up to them. So yeah, ultimately it's kind of just, can they win the games that they're expected to? Can Jackson Dart sort of improve his situational play when it comes to taking sacks? And then can the, you know, can the defensive line sort of take another step forward and really be one of those, you know, premier defensive lines in the SEC? I definitely think the hype is warranted for Ole Miss. I think it's definitely like a playoffs or bust kind of year, which can be scary as a fan because your expectations are sky high and every game kind of feels like, you know, this anxiety driven, you know, roller coaster. But yeah, I think Ole Miss, this is the year for them. It has to be the year. Honestly, to me, it doesn't even matter what they do in the playoffs or who they play. I think they have to be there. They have to be in the show.
Well, I think it's just so interesting because I feel like we use, kind of the phrase of, like an all-in year so often in pro sports, but I feel like a sort of all-in year doesn't really happen in college sports all that often.
You know, it really doesn't. Although I will say with NIL, you can kind of, if you have the funds to do it, you can kind of push your chips in the middle with, you know, transfer portal recruits and kind of just load up on both sides of the ball. I feel like Missouri is kind of doing that too in the SEC. Like they're kind of pushing their chips in the middle and trying to really make that expanded playoff. But yeah, this is, it's, you know, it's similar to Ole Miss. Like it's just, you got to make the playoff this year.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine that, Kiffin and the higher ups would want to be as aggressive in the portal as they are now as if, expectations were lower.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I don't know. Is there just anything else you want to add?
I mean, the only thing I did have one thing prepped for Mississippi State. I just had their win total. It's 4.5. When you look at the odds, though, their implied probability of going over that is 54.5%. So when you adjust it does actually adjust up to 4.6. That's still 60th in the Power Five out of 69 teams. So it's not really expected to be a good year for them. I think it's kind of just a bowl game would be exceeding expectations. I think it's interesting, like out of conference, they play Eastern Kentucky, Arizona State, Toledo, and UMass. Arizona State might be a little tough, but Toledo is losing a lot. UMass is UMass, and then Eastern Kentucky is Eastern Kentucky. So they could get 4 wins there, and then it's just, can they sort of play spoiler to an SEC team? That's kind of the Mississippi State season right now. Kind of first year with Jeff Lebby, kind of see what you have, see if you have any, you know, young stars, and see if you can kind of play spoiler to one of these SEC teams.
Yeah, no, I was joking with somebody in the office yesterday that Mississippi State is perfect for getting Billy Napier fired this year. So,
He really is. And to be honest, I mean, you look at Ole Miss, Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl. I mean, it's always tightly contested. You know, that might be Ole Miss kind of, that might be where they get tripped up. I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't bet on that, but you never know, you know. So that's a game where Ole Miss has to go in and just, I guess it depends on what their record is at that point in time. But if they're still in that playoff hunt, like that's a game they have to just kind of demolish and really just get past it.
All right. I think I'm going to wrap up here. So where can people find you? And I mean, really just plug anything that you want to.
Yeah. So mainly I'm on Twitter at CFB Numbers. I do have a Substack. I haven't posted on Substack in a while. I'm hoping to kind of post articles there. It's literally just College Football Analytics Substack. Occasionally you'll see me on PFF. I'm under Jason Deloach. That's my name. But yeah, mainly you'll see me just post graphs on Twitter at CFB Numbers. That's kind of where you'll see me the most.
I was very thankful that your name comes up on Zoom here because I was like going through my mind. I'm like, totally forget his name because I just see him on Twitter as CFB Numbers.
You know, I don't really put, I don't know why. There's no reason behind it, but I don't really put my name behind like Twitter or anything like that. I don't know. I feel like that happens a lot when I hop on podcasts and stuff. They're like, wait, what's actually your name? Like, what do you want to go by?
I was digging through your Substack on the about page. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to find anything that has your name on it because it's so weird.
I really should. I got to put something up there. I don't know why I don't, but I just kind of, I'll probably throw it in the bio or something.
Anyway, follow Jason, even though he's a Knoll.
Let's go Knolls, baby. Go.
And yeah, sorry, what?
Let's go Knolls. Another great year.
Yeah, no, we're running out of time. Sorry.
Hopefully we don't get snubbed. DJ, next step forward. Quarterback counters. Oh, it's going to be a great year.
Well, anyway, Jason, thank you so much for coming on. You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. Feel free to follow all of our coverage on djournal.com. And don't forget to join our Mississippi State sports discussion and Ole Miss sports discussion groups on Facebook. Once again, Jason, thank you so much for joining me. And thanks for listening, everybody.